trial run, the Lewis Line bus route was deemed a success. During a council meeting this month, it was announced that the bus route designed to help alleviate traffic and parking problems was used by over 6,200 passengers this summer. A second season for the Lewis Line is already planned for next year. I'm Eric Sharp, Delaware 105.9.
Today is Fred Showacre Day at Delaware 105.9. Just send Fred Showacre a text or make a phone call and wish him a happy day.
On the next Markley Van Camp and Robin show, well, at least a friend of mine said he's back on his feet again because of the recession.
How's really? That?
Bank took his car. Today at noon here on Delaware 105.9.
Morning show time, 7:05. Dan Gaffney here. Julianne Murray, Republican candidate for Attorney General in the studio. Hello.
Actually here.
Yes, good to have you here.
With my gallon of coffee.
Awesome. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
This is a great time to be here. We're going to take calls if anybody has any questions for Julianne. Look, you're running for attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
What approaches will you take in that office, should you win, that are different than our current attorney general?
Several. I mean, I think that, and I was, for those that don't know, I was here a few minutes early, so I actually heard your last segment. I think one of the things that has to happen right off the top is prosecuting. The current attorney general is running commercials saying that she has an 85% conviction rate on gun offenses, which may be true, but I'm thinking it's, a very small category. I don't think, maybe she's flat out making it up, but what I do know is I have the statistics that show that she's actually dropping 85% of two of the biggest categories of crimes, possession of a firearm during commission of a felony and possession of a firearm by person prohibited. Both of those have minimum mandatory sentences associated with them, that if we were sticking to those, it would be taking these violent offenders, guns in the hands of criminals, off the street from 3 to 5 to 10 years. And that's the first charge that's getting dropped. So I'm not going to speak in absolutes and say we're never going to drop a charge, because that would be ridiculous. But I do think that 85% is too high a number. And to say that gun violence is down and that she's keeping guns out of the communities is just ridiculous. I'm tracking the shootings. I know there was one over the weekend, but we had a candidate forum back in September where she said that the shootings were down. And since September 15th, I think it's 27 or 28 people have been killed or wounded by guns in Delaware. So guns are an issue. It's guns in the hands of criminals, and I've been very clear about that, because she's also very hostile to legal gun ownership. She wants to curtail legal gun ownership. So step one would absolutely be prosecute. Step two, priority two, is working with law enforcement. That relationship is broken with the current attorney general. It goes back to the riots of 2020, when she failed to prosecute, actually personally dropped charges against rioters in Delaware. I actually have the endorsement of the FOP and Delaware State Troopers Association. Not a surprise, given their relationship, but that every cop that I have talked to has said that the relationship is broken with our current attorney general. So it's a big priority.
That's bad. How does that play out when you have a broken relationship between police and the attorney general? What's happening there?
One of the ways that it is playing out is not real. And this is, again, got to be careful about broad strokes. There are some very good prosecutors within the office of the attorney general who have good relationships with law enforcement. But it's that message from the top about dropping charges. And now I'm skipping or moving from just gun charges to charges in general. And one of the things that has been kind of a universal theme that I have heard is they're seeing the same defendant over and over. So it is because charges are being dropped. So we now have criminals that are actually mocking law enforcement as they're being placed under arrest, basically saying, why are you even bothering? You know that this is going to get dropped. So what that's doing is, imagine if you had a job like that. For law enforcement, they're already under a microscope appropriately. That's a position of public trust. It's a big deal to be a cop, and you have to be right 100% of the time as a cop. But you have that pressure already. They signed up for it. But then you also have an attorney general who is dropping charges and, you know, you're busting your you-know-what out there only to have the person recycle through. So there's a dissatisfaction and kind of undercurrent that I think is detrimental. And so police officers are retiring and resigning at a record pace right now because they don't feel that they have the backing from the, you know, from the office of the attorney general in many cases. And so, you know, basically it's like, I'll go do something else. So we have a shortage of law enforcement here that we're going to have to deal with. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of stuff that has to be done.
Julianne Murray, does bail reform issues play into this?
It does.
Fact that the police are seeing the same offenders over and over again?
It does. And now, two interesting things about bail reform. Number one is that I'm going to say it was 4 years ago, there was right around the time Kathy Jennings came into office, very dramatic bail reform that shifted the presumption from secured bail to unsecured bail. So for people who aren't familiar with what bail is, you have what's called own recognizance. You have what's called unsecured bail, which means no money is being put up. You have secured bail, which means money is being put up. And then you have what's called cash bail. So four different levels. And basically, bail is designed to ensure that the defendant is going to show up. And there's a public safety component to it. Prior to that bail reform, there was, the Delaware prison system was higher than 40% with pre-trial defendants, so people who had not yet had their trial. Mm. I have an issue with that.
That's
a lot of people, and I mean, we do have constitutional protections, but between 40 and 50% being pre-trial, for people who, again, paint in broad strokes and say, oh, they deserve to be in jail, imagine if you hadn't had your day in court and you're sitting in jail for a year before you go to trial. Anyway, bail reform happens. It does. It reduces that population. It went too far. It basically shifted crimes that were violent to a low bail situation. Mm. So about last year, beginning of 2021, there's a video of Kathy Jennings saying that cash bail has to end now. Was the very, you know, in the public nationally, everybody's talking about ending cash bail. And if you do a survey and look around the country at the places that don't have cash bail, guess what? They have a lot of violent offenders and a lot of violent crime. So this passed in 2021, the General Assembly actually revisited that bail reform and added crimes back that are now cash bail eligible. Right. So what happens with bail? A court is setting bail, okay? But the state is allowed to take a position, and so is defense counsel. A lot of times bail is set at the time of the arrest, you know, so there's really no counsel involved in that. I think there should be. I mean, I think that, you know, there are, I'm not saying every single time, but we could institute, and I will institute, a policy of if it is a certain level of felony, you know, that there's going to be an on-call, deputy attorney general that's going to weigh in on this. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, the judges are basically saying, hey, if I'm
this
not.
This is to keep the violent offender.
It is.
This is the public safety component.
It is the
to
public
keep them out there again, keeping the police having to deal with them again.
Correct.
Before they have their day in court.
Correct. Correct. And so I think that, you know, I mean, the judges, many of them are saying, hey, nobody weighed in on it. All I've got is the piece of paper in front of me, you know, and the cop that's, you know, that may or may not be saying something about what the bail should be. So I think that, you know, the offenders that are getting out on low bail or no bail is not just the office of the attorney general. There's actually an aspect of it that is the court. But I do think that there is a overall, I'm going to say, sense or feeling that they are not heavily advocating for higher bail. And when I say they, I mean the Office of the Attorney General.
We also have, this may not be directly something the Attorney General can do something about, but do we have a backlog in the courts so that, it'd be one thing if you didn't have cash bail if the offender was going
to get a speedy trial.
But yeah. There's just such a time lag.
There is. And it is, believe it or not, COVID dramatically affected the backlog. So there was already, so prior to COVID, I would say that if it's, and I'm going to take a, you know, let's just take a murder charge, for instance. Mm. You know, I mean, it would take well over a year to get to trial on a murder charge pre-COVID. Mm. Then you throw COVID in the mix. And there are people that sat for, that are still sitting for charges that go back almost 2 years. And, you know, and one of the things at the time, and again, I have an issue with this, and there are going to be people that are going to say, if you're going to be the prosecutor, how could you have an issue with this? And my answer is the Constitution. You know, the, we do have a, you know, a speedy trial guarantee. And, you know, and, the, Chief Justice of the Delaware Supreme Court, when COVID was going on, basically said the equivalent of, we're not going to worry about the speedy trial thing because we have a public health emergency. And, you know, and I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that.
Speaking of the Constitution is the Constitution, I think we should touch on the fact that this you represented some folks in a lawsuit against the vote by mail.
I did.
And the you won that in the Supreme Court.
I did.
It was unconstitutional vote by mail it in Delaware. Delaware vote by mail.
Correct. And real quickly, and I'm sure I'll get the high sign when we're supposed to take a commercial break.
Sure.
That case, and it's interesting because my opponent and you know lots of people are saying that I did that to restrict voting access, which is just absolutely not true. We have a constitution, okay? And laws have to be in, have to comport with the constitution. We, in Delaware, absentee voting was added by constitutional amendment back in, the 1940s. And every time that it has been, there were three categories, three reasons for why you could absentee vote. Since then, it has been amended three more times that add, you know, three more reasons, you know, and for people who say, oh, you're trying to stop people who work. Your job is one of the reasons. If you have to work, you can absentee vote.
Yeah, this absentee vacation is different than mail-in voting.
Vacation is a valid reason under the Delaware Constitution. So back in 1972, there was an opinion of the Delaware Supreme Court that basically said the list that is in the Constitution is an exhaustive list, meaning that is the list. If you are going to enlarge it or you are going to reduce it, you're going to do it by constitutional amendment. Mm. And they did, 77, 83, and 93. This past session, they could not get the votes to do a constitutional amendment that would have made no excuse necessary. And they then went ahead and did it statutorily. They did it by law and said that we have broad powers. We can do this. We've always been able to do this. And that is what I challenged. I challenged the process that if you're going to do this, you have to do it by constitutional amendment.
I completely understand. Having said that, however, let me ask you this.
Go.
Do you think there was funny business in the last election in terms of the mail-in balloting?
Yes.
Or do you think election results were, do you think it was stolen?
No. And I, you know, it's interesting because I had somebody say to me that, you know, the very vogue word, was it rigged? You know, I mean, I think that, and this is a dangerous question. I'll answer, but then I'm going to pivot. And that is that, yes, I think there was funny business in the 2020 election. I know firsthand, that fraudulent votes were cast. I had people who reached out to me and said, you know, cause you could check if a ballot had been received, that, you know, dead people voted that, you know, I personal friends who said, I looked and my, you know, it says my mother voted and she died 2 years ago. So I do know it happens. There's fraud in most elections. The standard in Delaware is that you have to be able to show that it would have affected the outcome of the election. So there are people that say no fraud. We can have no fraud. And that is what the goal. That is what we should be aiming for. But, you know, the gap between Carney and me was 100,000 votes, which by the way is really 50,000 votes. Yeah, you know, people say she lost by 100,000. No, if 50,000 more had voted for me than him, it would have been a tie.
Good point.
But for me, very early after that election, I said, we have to figure out what happened, but let's quit trying to redo the 2020 election. We must be focused on 22 and putting things in place that are going to make the 22 election more secure. And here's a for instance, and a lot of people don't know this with vote by mail, for instance, you know, it says in the code, it says that, the outside envelope must be signed, must have a signature. Okay. The devil's in the details. It doesn't say it has to be the voter's signature. It doesn't say that, you know, and the signature is not compared against anything. It just has to have a signature. So, you know, the danger in 2020 was that they sent out applications to every registered voter, 700 and some thousand people. And if they got an application back, they sent a ballot. No, you know, no verification, no, right. You know, I mean, people reached out. I mean, I remember when I was running, we were taking calls from people saying that they got seven envelopes at their house.
Yep.
You know, so all of that was a recipe for fraud. But, you know, I think we move on. I think we talk about 22 and what we're putting in place for 22 so that people feel more comfortable voting.
Julianne Murray is here. Your questions coming up, 302-839-1059. It is 720. And Atkins and Sons Materials on Dagsboro Road in Millsboro sells firewood. You know, they're ready to load you up in your truck or trailer today. They'll also deliver firewood, split, and ready to burn. They sell stone as well. Also things like straw. What else? Railroad ties. You know, their mulch in the spring. You know, everything. All these sorts of things. Topsoil, fill, dirt. They have skid steer service, firewood, and deer corn even. And you can pick it all up at Atkins and Sons Materials on Dagsboro Road in Millsboro. Right off of 113 next to Sussex Lumber. You can go there today, or you can just call for delivery. Here is the firewood delivery number, 302-745-1587. That's 302-745-1587, Atkins and Sons Materials. Your 3-day forecast for all of Sussex and Kent counties from the Delaware 105.9 Weather Center. Clouds and a shower in the area today, high 66. Clouds and spotty drizzle tonight, low 59. And then partly sunny for tomorrow, the high 77. Cloudy skies Wednesday, the high 72. I'm Steve Williams in the Delaware 105.9 Weather Center.
Gallagher Show. So much breaking news. We've got it all for you. We'll help you figure out what to make of it all. The Mike Gallagher Show next this morning at 9 here on Delaware 105.9.
Julianne Murray would like to be the Attorney General. She's running. You have a chance to vote for her on Election Day in November. Here is a Delmarva Allstate agent Paul Sarnak talk or text line question. Julianne, after running for governor and losing, mm-hmm. What did you learn and what are you doing differently this time to win?
Excellent question. I learned that the three counties are incredibly different. And I mean, I had somebody describe to me that the state of Delaware is almost like the nation. So Newcastle County is New York, Philly. Kent County is the Midwest, and Sussex County is more of the South. Very true. So there, you know, so you have very different things that matter. And so I learned that. I also learned, and I knew this, that, you know, you have to spend the time in Newcastle County. So, you know, so people who have said, gee, we haven't seen you very much in Sussex County, that would be 100% intentional. Right. I've been in Newcastle County. I also learned that people are amenable to the idea of a political outsider. You know, that is that, you know, I mean, so the governor run showed that, you know, somebody who does not, you know, is not a career politician can compete. Now, I know there's going to be somebody who's going to say can compete. You know, you came in at just under 40%. And, you know, but that's still a very significant percentage of the vote. shows that people are hungry for change. And so I think that, you know, this time around, I am a different candidate than I was in 2020. I was always serious. You know, I've always let my personality come through. People either like it or they don't. And, you know, I own that. But this time around, the Office of the Attorney General really fits me like a glove. It just, you know, it is, I've owned this from the beginning. Meaning, you know, the 500 and some days ago when I started this, I knew that this was going to be a good fit. And so how I've carried myself, how, you know, the ownership of it has been different than it was when I ran for governor.
I think we should do a little, on that note, a little biographical look at Julianne Murray from a legal point of view. We'll do that in a minute, okay, in case you don't know her background, legal or otherwise, we'll find out. So we'll learn everything we can about Julianne Murray this hour. Do you have a question, Ruthie?
Yes, I do. I've known her for years. I'm a Democrat, and Governor Minner left me a notebook of Democrats, and Ruth is going to get on that phone, and I'm going to talk to these Democrats, and I'm going to help her as much as I can, because she will make one of the best Attorney General we've ever had.
Thank you, Ruthie. I appreciate that.
You got a Democrat support from downstate here.
I actually have a lot of Democrat support in this election, which, you know, people may or may not be surprised by. But this is, and I think that's another thing that's different about this election, is that crime is on the ballot. Public safety is on the ballot nationally, but definitely here in Delaware. And, you know, and what I have been saying to people is crime doesn't discriminate. That, you know, a criminal doesn't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in terms of the issues and being on point for the issue, whether I'm a Democrat or whether I'm a Republican, shouldn't matter. It's what I'm going to do about it. And that has really resonated upstate in Newcastle County with Democrats.
Your legal background, a little bit of your bio legally,
okay,
if you would.
Yep. I went to law school at the age of 38 in 2008, graduated in 2011, took the bar, passed it on the first time. Not an easy feat, by the way. Opened my own firm in early 2012, Murray Law. And then in 2015, added a partner, Ron Phillips, became Murray Phillips, did estate planning, real estate, constitutional cases. I did the Sheriff's Arrest Authority case in 2013, did an election challenge for the Kent County Recorder of Deeds election in 2014 into 2015. Did criminal defense from 2015 until 2020, added another partner in 2017, Tom Gay, so we're Murray Phillips and Gay. And then in 2020, I sued Governor Carney over his short-term rental ban during the COVID state of emergency, and that was the lawsuit that kicked off a gubernatorial campaign.
Right.
So, yeah.
You won that one.
Not in the courts. He caved, so we win.
Right. Very good. Back in a minute with Julianne Murray. Short break. Your phone calls coming up. More questions. A few more good ones here on the text line. And your phone calls, 302-839-1059. Just about 7:30.
That's what will happen. It's fast. It's easy. It's smart. Apply today. AtlanticFinanceAndPawn.com.
Coming up on the Mike Gallagher Show, so much breaking news. We've got it all for you. We'll help you figure out what to make of it all. The Mike Gallagher Show, next.
This morning at 9 here on Delaware 105.9.
Well, one of the things we've learned talking with Julianne Murray is that she is pro-law enforcement and wants to return a confidence in the Attorney General's office to the police anyway.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Certainly learning that. The endorsement of the FOP and the Delaware State Troopers Association are backing you?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you're interested in law and order and safety and security in our state, I would say that's a very important endorsement.
Both of them are, and they happened within a day of each other. And I met with the boards of, I met with DSTA, I met with their board, and very, very frank conversation about my support for law enforcement, but also how I view law enforcement. So I said earlier with you that it's a position of trust that cannot be abused. And so, you know, you have to be right 100% of the time, and that's a very difficult hurdle. So I think that, you know, and why we had that conversation is because I think that nationally, again, but I think some of it spills into Delaware, cops bad, cops abuse power. And I needed them to understand that I think that, that can exist, and that I'm not going to sit by and let that happen, because that undermines the career, in general. And what was interesting to me is they got that. So I've said this before, but, you know, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And so, I mean, I do think that, it was a good conversation where I said, look, you discharge your duties lawfully, I'm 100% behind you. You go outside of that, I'm not going to ignore it. And, cause I wanted them to know that. It's a very good conversation with DSTA. When I came down, Ocean City is where the FOP conference was, and there I was in front of the entire delegation, and very, very warm reception. I actually had their endorsement in 2020 as governor over a sitting governor. That was a friendly room, but again, I took questions I said my stuff for about, 10, 15 minutes, and I didn't get out of there till I was there over an hour. Just taking questions.
Do you have any insight on this Dewey Beach police involved shooting that was supposed to be fully investigated by all matters, state police, and it involved a Dewey officer?
I remember.
The state police were going to investigate to see if it was justified or mm-hmm. what the situation was. Mysterious situation. No real. Have you heard anything?
I have not. And the attorney general,
had said stiffly, we are going to find out exactly what mm-hmm. happened, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Then we haven't heard anything.
We have not. Now, it happened, I think, last thing I saw was March or thereabouts, where they said that.
Early in the year.
Yeah, that the state police were going to take over the investigation. I would imagine there is also an investigation happening from within the Office of the Attorney General. The Civil Rights and Public Trust Division has an arm of that division that does investigations on officer-involved shootings. Now, ironic, here's my pot shot at the Civil Rights and Public Trust Division. The lead investigator in the McGinnis case lied on the stand, or admitted to lying on his warrant application. So the idea that you have a Civil Rights and Public Trust Division that does undermine it. But I think, and I've not heard anything more about it either.
Let's talk about the prosecution of State Auditor Kathy McGinnis a little bit and your thoughts on it. You mentioned the difficulty with that investigator,
mm-hmm.
but the jury bought it and came back guilty on a couple of charges, and the judge did sentence her to a year probation and level one.
Yep.
And 500 hours of community service.
Yeah.
And over 10 grand in fines.
No, so it is serious. It was interesting. So I did not attend the trial or see the evidence that was presented. I do know that, when she was originally charged, people asked me and I said, hey, I don't know the evidence, still don't. I think that, the overall sense was that, there was nothing done there that is not being done other places. That doesn't necessarily make it right. Okay. But in terms of the optics of it, that it looked like I'm going to use the word a political hit. And for those that don't know, the word on the street, is that McGinnis wants to run in 24 for governor and that Jennings wants to run in 24 for governor. So in terms of selecting her for prosecution, if what she did was, she was found guilty. So the irony of that is that the conflict of interest charge, where it's talking about, it's essentially nepotism, her daughter working for the office. If this had gone to an impeachment trial, was going, the number of senators that were going to have to recuse themselves was ridiculous. In terms of how many people have family members that are working, in the direct line. So, I think that it was a political hit. Yes. Do I think that, you know, that she, I mean, I know she was found guilty. So the jury absolutely found, you know, found, that she was guilty of the offenses. So it's, you know, I mean, and for those that don't know, with a misdemeanor, generally there is the availability of jail time doesn't. It doesn't happen very often. You get a year of probation. The levels of probation, level one is the lowest level mm-hmm, of lowest. Probation. You know, it's basically you sign, you know, you check in once and, you know, it's essentially unmonitored.
The text line has a couple of questions about what you would do about Hunter Biden.
Gee, that's a surprise.
A lot of this has, may have happened in Delaware. Sure. Things on the laptop may have been occurred in Delaware, whatever. What would the attorney general do if it was Julianne Murray with Hunter Biden?
Investigate it. I mean, I think that, I have been running on a no one is above the law platform, and I mean that. The reality is that that laptop, the current attorney general got that laptop out of this state so fast, and passed it off to the feds. And, you know, now in general, I would concede that federal crimes would be the priority. I mean, they get to kind of swoop in. I mean, I remember when I was doing criminal defense, there were a couple of cases that turned federal. I was dealing with the state charges, but there were also federal charges. But, there was no investigating done here in Delaware. And, the chief deputy attorney general is a guy named Alexander Mackler, who ironically was the one who argued at the Supreme Court for the state, I was a Fox News article, I'm going to say, 2 months ago, emailing with Hunter Biden. Nothing illicit, but it was, so clearly there was a connection with somebody in the office of the attorney general. But from my perspective, it should have been investigated. And if there are laws that were broken in the state of Delaware, then that should be prosecuted.
I'm going to read a text message and then we can speak generically about this Delawarean and others that might find themselves in similar situation. Okay. Here's the text. It says, hopefully Julianne will do better than the current woman. I was sexually assaulted by a doctor who admitted it. There was almost no investigation by police. They mentioned a local police. Mm-hmm. And the attorney general refused to charge because, quote, she couldn't prove malice, even though it was admitted. And I said, no, people should be able to feel safe, not worried of how many people are out there never charged. You get the idea. Feels like they're not getting justice.
Right. Well, and it is, I mean, one of the things that is difficult crimes get committed and whether you can prove it. Yeah, I mean, so when people talk about, plea bargains are bad. No, they're not. Because many times, the person who committed the offense will admit they committed the offense and they just need to be navigated through, through the system. In this case, with the message, when it says that the doctor admitted it, the devil's in the details. Where did the doctor admit? Did the doctor admit it while he or she was in custody? Where is that admission? How is it provable? If that admission happened while under arrest, after Miranda, something like that, then that's as close to a slam dunk case as you can get. And whether or not you can prove malice would have absolutely no bearing. It's depending on what the nature of the actual offense was, the intent of the perpetrator does not, may not come into play. So lots of, I'm not trying to be evasive, there are lots of elements. There's a whole bunch of stuff that, but I do think that the overarching idea that, the Office of the Attorney General is the prosecutorial arm. The office sets the tone across, for how we're going to handle crime. Right now there are, and this is a fact, there are people coming into the state of Delaware from Philly, gangs that are coming into Wilmington all the way down into Dover. We've had more violence in Sussex County. People are coming here to commit crimes because they know they're not going to be dealt with harshly. We have to flip that script. And the Office of the Attorney General has the responsibility for prosecuting and make, you know, and I'm going to use the word for justice. You know, there is another element to it that we haven't talked about, which doesn't necessarily tie into this. And that is the, what I'm going to call the people's lawyer side of it, which is the individual rights. And again, I'm not necessarily talking about in the criminal aspect. I'm talking about in the civil, you know, consumer fraud, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, elder abuse. But something like that where, again, a doctor is a position of trust. I mean, there are all sorts of things that if the case had not been provable to, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt that perhaps, you know, administratively, I mean, there's professional licensing. There are other, you know, there are other ways to potentially get there, that it doesn't sound like any of that happened.
You mentioned something I want to back up to, you know, gangs and other, criminal activity coming to Delaware on purpose. You know, we're going to go somewhere and create mayhem. Let's go to Delaware and do it because they're soft these days. I've heard that before. You mentioned Wilmington, Dover, and even in Sussex. I've heard that this summer at the beach, actually. Dewey Beach would be a great place if you're from Philadelphia, gangbanger, and want to come down and cause trouble. So you're repeating something that I've been told.
Okay.
What can you tell us about this, really? What's the what's going on
here? I can't quantify it, but, you know, because, again, I don't have the access to all of that. What I can tell you is, I mean, I've talked to a lot of cops. I've talked to, you know, and they're the ones who are echoing this. And, you know, and for those that say, well, how do the cops know? I think that, you know, when we find out the identity of the defendant as they're going into custody, we can kind of find out. I will also say that, you know, gangs in general can be pretty brazen, you know, and so I'm just echoing what I've been told, just like you've been told. But Dover is, you know, it is a hot mess right now. There are people that are coming in. That was actually where I was told a lot of the Philly gangs were coming into Dover. Delaware has always been, I'm going to use the word, a corridor. So, you know, I mean, just in terms of where we are. So for, like, you know, drug running and, cigarettes,
Route 13, 95,
all of it. You know, I mean, it's coming from the, you know, the southern part of the United States and going to New York and Philly. So, I recall dealing with that. You know, so out of state. So even when I was, you know, back in the day when I was doing criminal defense, I had out of state defendants then that were, you know, caught in, you know, in transit. But, you know, I think that the, you know, some of it is just kind of connecting the dots. Some of it in terms of, you know, crime is on the rise. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that can be attributed to importing criminals into the state. Some of it is based, so it's the connecting the dots of that plus talking to law enforcement and having them confirm that. But
back to this is back to the very first question. There is a, we are soft on crime right now. There is a soft on crime vibe or attitude or behavior out of our attorney general's office today.
That is what, yes. In my view, there is. Now, again, you know, we have some good prosecutors. Yeah.
Right.
And in
Sussex
County.
Doesn't mean everyone, right?
No, it does not. You know, but
you're saying from the top down.
I am. I'm saying that the message from the top. And, you know, and one of the things that is interesting is, I mean, this is an election year. You know, she is talking much, you know, much, much tougher, you know, in 22 than she did in 19, 20 and 21. I mean, so I think that they are prosecuting. I mean, she knows she's under a microscope. You know, I've been hammering this for, over 500 days. So so we do not have 22 numbers. You know, she's reinventing history. She's saying that, you know, she was responsible for bail reform that's keeping violent criminals in jail when she lobbied for ending cash bail. But, you know, the, you know, so I think that right now things may be a little bit more, you know, stringent, but I'll give you a, for instance, it's a Newcastle County case. I don't know whether, and it was the jewelry store owner that was attacked. So, I think in his 60s, you know,
this is fairly recent.
It was fairly recent.
Caught on tape or what have you.
Correct. Person goes in, you know, defendant goes in, because they are now a defendant, goes in and takes a hammer to his head. Okay. Not charged with attempted murder. He's charged with assault. You know, and, you know, now, The AG's office can do something about that. So when people don't understand, I mean, so the police are the original charging agency, and then it can be reviewed, and new charges can be presented to a grand jury. So it can happen by indictment, it can happen by information, but to date, that has not happened. And, you know, and I'm not saying that the public outcry should drive it, but it absolutely should at least call attention to it. I mean, that is, you know, that the person. Yeah,
what else are you trying to do when you take a hammer to someone's skull?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And, you know, and then one other thing I want to mention in, talking about the cop over the weekend, the fight at CAPE. And, you know, and what to do with that when we start talking about juveniles and restorative, you know, all of these different things. So one of the things that, you know, people may or may not know is, assault second is a felony in Delaware. And, typically in order to get to that, to the felony level, you have to cause serious physical injury, and that's defined in the code. But it says, number three says the person intentionally causes physical injury to a law enforcement officer,
right?
Not serious physical injury.
Any.
Yeah, any. So last I heard, what was the charges in that were resisting arrest and disorderly conduct.
Yeah, one of them got an offensive touching of law enforcement.
Okay. And should have. So
yeah.
There is a balance that has to be struck here. And, you know, and people may not know. I mean, the juvenile offenders. Okay? I do not think that you can do a one size fits all. I mean, I think that you have to, you know, assess each case, and determine whether or not it's, you know, it rises to the level of felony conduct. And then there's also a case of whether or not it should be tried in family court or in superior court. But I was at a candidate forum last week, just the two of us up in Wilmington. And, you know, and this question came up about juveniles and I'm going to use the word saddling them with, you know, making them criminals early in life and how that sticks with them the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an issue, okay? But there's also that public safety component again, you know, and I, you know, I remember distinctly a juvenile that I was assigned to defend, and in family court, you get assigned whether you do criminal defense or not because they don't have enough attorneys. But I, at the time I was doing criminal defense, and I was assigned to a kid who was 14 going on 15, and it was a gun charge, okay? And that kid was straight up evil. I mean, and there is, you know, in my view, you know, there are kids that are kids. And then, you know, so in this case, I mean, there, one of them is a 17-year-old. You hit a cop.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that you have to, I do think you have to be, stringent on this. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes, if it's beyond the offensive touching.
Speaking of, organized crime coming into mm-hmm. Delaware. This says, look at the lowlifes coming from New York to shoplift at the outlets. Well, there's a true example of organized crime coming in, organized shoplifting.
Absolutely. And it's been that way for years. But yes, and it is that they have, it's an actual ring. There was a grocery store on Long Neck that happened about a week or two ago, where it was, you know, two cars and, you know, carts full of groceries and, you know, and very organized.
Yeah. Back in a minute with Julianne Murray, candidate for Attorney General, Delaware. Back in a minute at 7:50.
Matter the size. Plus, a free upgrade to HDR architectural shingles and no payments until 2024. These savings are too good to pass up.
Trust your home to Valor.
Supporting our veterans.
833-83-VALOR.
Breaking news and what to make of it. Weekdays, 9 a.m. till noon with Mike Gallagher. Talk Radio, Delaware 105.9.
Dan, can you ask Julianne why the state drops a high level of gun charges as recently as 82% last year? Thank you. Go, Julianne. We addressed that at the beginning of this conversation, and here we are at the end of the hour. So as you wrap up and talk directly to the voters about why they should vote for you, you might want to mention that briefly.
I shall. Thank you. I think that the reason it gets dropped is it's a tool for plea bargaining. I mean, so it's the one that has the minimum mandatory. And so they've made an administrative decision that if they can avoid going to trial, they will. And if they offer to throw that charge out, that sometimes that is plea inducing. I disagree with it. Trials work. Yeah. And, you know, and on a case like that, particularly possession of a firearm during commission of a felony or by person prohibited, it's as close to a slam dunk as you can get, because it's basically, you know, based on your criminal history, which is admissible. So it's one of those things. All right. In terms of speaking to the voters. Actions speak louder than words, you know, and, you know, Kathy Jennings, you know, I have said, are you safer than you were 4 years ago? And I have yet to find somebody in the state of Delaware that says, yes, we are in a better place as it relates to crime than we were 4 years ago. And so I think that that's, you know, that is the question you need to ask. And, you know, she has shown that, she, will politicize this office. This should be an apolitical office. It's about enforcing the law. And, you know, I'm going to enforce the law. Boy, that was a quick minute. Yeah. You know, so I understand that. So basically, you know, actions speak louder than words. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm absolutely qualified to do this job. It fits me like a glove. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated. Your vote is your voice, and you need to vote like your life depends on it, because it does.
Julianne Murray, back in a moment.